Hey everybody, welcome to Delta Flodge Outdoors. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about my first deer that I killed and like hunting with my dad growing up and everything, and just a little bit of storytelling time. It's the day I'm recording this is Sunday, November the 5th, 2023. Yesterday morning here on my place in Oklahoma. I was able to harvest a deer. Not the deer I wanted to shoot, but ended up shooting a decent young buck. It was actually an accident to shoot him, but that's a whole nother story. Real early in the morning, like right at legal shooting time, didn't see horns because it was super small spike horns, but like he weighed like 147, 150 pounds, between 147, 150 on the scale. I shot it for a doe. Could kick my ass because I was like, what the hell, man? Like, I was happy I harvested an animal, killed an animal, whatever y'all prefer to call it. Everybody's got a different saying. Then I was upset because I utterly fucked up and killed something I shouldn't have on my own place. So something I normally wouldn't have. But with that said, we're going to dive into this episode and actually talk about my first ever deer hunt that I killed, honey, in Louisiana, and with my dad. I was 10 years old. Y'all stay tuned. Thanks. So, diving into today's episode, it's going to take you back to 1995, December the 9th was when it was. Early morning, it was cold. We get to where we're going to be hunting at, and it's a little place that doesn't, in a little town called Chipola in Louisiana. And all the guys that hunted in it actually worked for the prison system. My dad was actually worked for Department of Corrections. So I grew up with my dad working for Department of Corrections and everything. And all the guys in the club were in Department of Corrections. It was a DMAP club. They had like 8 members and a long waiting list. And we hunted a couple times as guests because the waiting list to get in was 498 acres or 502. It was not huge. He said 8 members on it. And the stand that they sent us to was a box stand. We'd hunted it probably two weekends before. And they had a deer come out to go to the feeder. And my dad wouldn't let me take the shot, something. I think at that time I was using, had like a little crack barrel 410 or something. And it was 45, 50 yards. He wouldn't let me take the shot. And then, so didn't get to shoot that deer, but it was the first deer I actually got to see in the stand with my dad ever with me hunting. You know, that was my first ever trip. So fast forward to like two, three weekends later, I borrowed from my cousin Lenny. When he was a kid, his daddy had bought him a crack barrel 16 gauge. And I'm pretty sure the shells that he sent with it were the ones that came with it from when he was a kid. And you got to realize he's 22 years older than me, 23 years older than me. So I'm 10. He's 32, 33 at the time. He got the gun when he was 9 or 10. The box of buckshot had like 16 gauge double alt buck. Can't remember if they were 2 3/4, 3 inch, but 16 gauge double alt. And it was like $1.70 something on the box. It was crazy. So we go. We're sitting in the stand. We get up there. We're running late when we get there. Don't remember exactly why. I want to say one of the roads that goes there that we'd cut through was like a dirt road, and it had rained. And somebody was stuck in the road, and we had to help them get out. I don't remember exactly because don't remember that part of it. You know, fully. So we get to where we're going to hunt. In my haste, you know, 10-year-old haste, I forget my jacket in the truck. It's cold. We get in the stand. My dad takes his jacket off, gives to me. And we're sitting there, like, back to back up in this box and shivering because it was, I think there was frost still on the ground, which, you know, so we're in it. And got the stand. We're sitting in the stand. We're waiting. Here comes this deer out. It's probably 7:45, 8 o'clock in the morning, still early. And this little spike buck comes across there. And the guys that ran the club knew I'd never killed a deer, and they're like, man, let them kill whatever that comes out. As long as it's legal, let them shoot it. Like, to them, like, kids, they wanted a kid to kill his first deer. They didn't care what it was. And that was, you know. So he comes out. My dad asked me, you know, I was like, Daddy, can I shoot him? And my dad's like, yeah, I guess so. So as I go to lift the shotgun to, like, stick it out, the little window in the box stand, I'm like, as I raise it up, I hit the roof, the metal roof, with the barrel. So it's like, bang, on top. And the deer stops, and he throws his head up and looks around. Like, we're real still, like, oh, you know. So we're just sitting there. And then he goes back to eating in the ryegrass, working his way to the corn. So I ease the gun out the window, and my dad's like, you know, whenever you're ready, you know, when he stops, just put it on, like, with the buckshot and everything. He's like, put it there, like, where his neck and his shoulder meet, just shoot him there. And I was like, okay. So, like, he stops. And I was like, now? He's like, yeah. And I squeeze the trigger, and it literally looked like an old black powder rifle go off. There was so much smoke you couldn't see. And, you know, smoke clears, deer's on the ground. And that was the story of my very first deer I killed. I was 10 years old. And the coolest thing in the world to me, because I got to do it with my dad. And, you know, we still hunt together when we can. With me here in Oklahoma, he's still in Louisiana. We try to get, like, this year I doubt we make any hunts together. Next year we have a couple on schedule. Excuse me. I'm trying to set my schedule up where I can hunt the last weekend of January down in North Louisiana with him, and then the first weekend of October in North Louisiana. But so, you know, that was my first deer kill, and it was just the coolest thing in the world because I got to do it with my dad, enjoyed it, and did not really realize how much of a, you know, how much that was going to start costing, because it created quite the addiction. And, you know, and so that would be my first deer kill. You fast forward to, like, 1999. We'd been hunting in a hunting club in Mississippi, a little town called Suntag, for several years at that point, probably two or three. And we ran deer dogs, which is controversial to a lot of people. If it's something you've ever done, you know the adrenaline rush you get when you hear those dogs set out and just go to hammering, you know, and they're running something, and your heart's pounding because it's coming at you or whatever. And, like, it's crazy how fast they bust across a little shooting trail or through a clear cut, the way they're bouncing and moving and everything. So that goes, you know, with that said, I'd hunted probably 2 years and had hell. I could not, just for the life of me, shoot a deer in front of the dogs. It was not working for me. And didn't matter if it was shotgun, rifle, whatever. I just couldn't do it. So it's like I know it's in, like, November, probably opening weekend of dog season. And sure enough, the dogs are running, and doe comes running across there. And I shoot, like, three times as she crosses this little dead-end trail I'm on. And I'm standing on the back of I had a little pickup that I could drive at the hunting camp. And I'm standing on, like, the dog box on it. And I shoot, like, pow, 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 like, three times with semi-30-06. I have a Remington 7400 that I still have. And I think I carried it for about three seasons, then switched over to, like, bolt action. Because I was, like, I quit dog hunting, you know, when I was, like, 17 or so. So 2002 or 2003 was probably the last year I dog hunted. And so, like, killed that doe in front. That was the second deer I ever killed, was actually my first deer in front of dogs also. So it was two things that, like, I got to kill my first deer ever when I was, like I said, 10. Sitting with my dad in the box stand with a borrowed 16-gauge shotgun and everything. Then fast forward, like, 4 years later, the 30-06 that I was talking about, the Remington 7400, my dad's brother, he passed away a few years ago, but he had his own little construction company, and he would always let me work for him in the summers and the evenings. So I saved all my money I could from working with him, you know, whenever I could, collecting aluminum cans and everything else. And I'd bought a 35 Remington lever action. And I couldn't kill anything with that gun. Just could not hit with it. Myself and that gun did not agree. So I ended up selling it to one of my other uncles and took my money I'd saved up and everything from there and bought that Remington 7400 30-06, like sportsman model at Walmart. Got my mom to go with me. I'm like, that's the gun I want, mama. So she like, give her the money. She buys it for me. And I actually talked her into buying my dad a Remington 7600 pump the same night. And that was 24 years ago. That Remington 7400 pump has been shot 6 times and been put up since then. I shot it twice, he shot it twice, and his cousin, who has since passed away, shot it twice. And we put it back up. So I have that Remington 7400, hunted with it 1 year, then the following year was 99, and that's when I killed the doe with it, crossing that little dead end trail into a clear cut. And I was on cloud nine. Didn't matter, she was little. In all honesty, she probably wasn't much bigger than the Walker deer hounds. But 14, killing a deer in front of the dogs, I was on top of the world. And then first and only deer I've ever killed in front of the dogs. Then killed a few deer early in 01, for January of 01. Then I didn't hunt for 6-7 years after that. You know, got finished with high school, and I hunted 02, then 03 I started college. And quit hunting, and I fished a decent amount, but just quit hunting. And I probably didn't hunt for seven or eight years. Then got back into it, and then hunted a couple years, and took off 3 or 4 years. Here in the past 4 or 5 years is when I've got back into it heavily. And during that time frame I took off, I may not have hunted, but I would go scout. I would do stuff with my dad and them or friends. I just wouldn't go. I had a different agenda at the time. And I was hunting, just I wasn't deer hunting. And, so another story for another time. So we, that was my first 2 deer. Still hunting when I was 10 years old with my dad, 14, killing one in front of the dogs. And two stories that just kind of, they wasn't big deer. It was a little spike and a little doe. But that's probably, those are the two I remember the most of anything I've ever killed. And could tell you when they were, to the date, what time they were, because it was the 17th of November when I killed the doe in front of the dogs, a little after 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was drizzling rain. I had, actually, that day, I'd forgot my hunter's orange. So all I had to put on was those, full body ponchos, and it was blaze orange. So imagine you're standing on the back of your pickup truck. On my roll bar, because I had a double aluminum roll bar and a little Ford Ranger four-wheel drive. And I'm standing on top of that and body orange from head to toe. So if the dogs had not been running that deer, she would have never crossed there, because you could see me. I look like a little Oompa Loompa up there. You could see me for miles. And, but it was just, the dogs did it. And it's a controversial thing to a lot of people. Oh, the dogs push the deer out, da-da-da-da-da. What I found out about that, hunting in that club for 4 or 5 years, 8, whatever it was we were up there, you could literally run. We had 2 sections, and they were massive sections, but one we called Big Block. You could run it and then go set up. They had a stand on the pipeline. You could set up in it. And the deer would come back, because there was a natural funnel right there. And that evening, you could watch deer just cross back in. And you could watch 7-10 does every evening cross out right there. Didn't matter. You could shoot one today, tomorrow go sit there, there would be 7-10 cross. So everybody knew it. So it was a mad dash in the evenings to get to that stand to try and kill one. But those were my first 2 deer that I killed. And those were my first, those 2 most memorable ones. last year, my youngest son, Hunter, who is 9 for this deer season, he was 8 for last year, he actually killed one with my crossbow up here in Oklahoma. And that was icing on the cake. Like, that one took precedent over any of mine because it was just being there with him doing it was awesome. Can't wait for my older son, Trapper, to, you know, to kill one. He kind of, he's hit or miss on his hunting. He cracks me up. Like, he's more of a warm weather guy, so he'll probably make some, like, out-of-state September hunts with me and the early October hunts here. Then after that, when it starts getting cold, he's out. He's done. Hunter will go sit in the rain and cold, like, wind. He sat, it was drizzling rain and, like, 38 and with the wind chill, like, low 30s last weekend or whatever. We made an evening hunt. Hunter said, I put him in a ground blind. And I set up about 20 yards kind of off to his left and behind him because they had a doe that had busted him that ground blind. And I was like, you know what? If she comes back down through this trail where she's done it before between the woods and the field there, the pasture, I can get her with my bow. And about 10, 15 minutes before, like, prime time, it went to lightning around us and storming. And I was like, nope, time to get out of here because I'm up in a tree, like, 15, 20 feet. Then I didn't want to get in trouble from his mom if I got him sick. So, you know, we get up to the house. We look like two drowned rats. My wife looks at me and was like, well, first off, if y'all sick, not my problem. Second, I think we're out of propane because the hot water heater's not working. So, me not thinking and checking it and being out of town would work, we'd ran out of propane. So, but as cold as and wet as we were, the cold water for a shower felt great because it was actually warmer than what we were. So we were kind of chuckling about that. And shout out, I got a really cool neighbor, Tim, works for a company that handles propane deliveries and everything. I literally shot him a text 7:30, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. Monday morning, 8 o'clock, he had me taken care of. So, like, super shout out to him. And, you know, he just worked me in his schedule, and I owe him a big one. So, but before I get on rambling, that was my first two deer kills, and I wanted to tell that story of it because, to me, it was the two most memorable of my kills. But the most memorable hunt ever, you know, seeing was with my son last year when he killed. And I can't wait to do it two more times with my oldest son, Trapper, and my daughter, Skylar. It's like yesterday. I've got a video of her, like, throwing a fit crying. She's 3. I go hunt deer. So I was like, no. So she gets her boots on and her camouflage and her flashlight. And she says, I go hunt deer. I need light because I'm scared of the dark. I'm like, okay. So we go out on the back of the property here on the four-wheeler. I make a loop, and we set up. And I just took her out there, and I wasn't going to take her to a stand or anything because I'm like, she's going to be super loud. This is not going to work. And oddly enough, she was quieter than what my two boys are when I take them. And I'm like, huh, this is awkward because, like, I figured she was going to be super loud, and she was not. So I'm like, I might, you know, I've created a monster, but I might have a hunting partner, you know, too. And the thing about it, Hunter's 9, Skylar's 3. So when Hunter, in a couple more years, he's going to be at that verge of hunting by himself, 2-3 more years, whatever. Like, I don't know how a lot of y'all are. I was 11 when I started using a climber. We'd walk in, my dad would be like, can you climb this tree? I'm going down here. You know, he'd go down 300-500 yards, and we'd be on public land, and I would be in that stand until he'd come back to get me. I hunted a super lot of public land growing up, and I still do it. That's my passion more than private. Even though I make, you know, attractants and feed and everything else, I will use that on my places. I will promote that to guys that want to use it on their private places and everything. But my passion is, forget all that, get your gear, go scout the woods, and hunt. And I've gotten back huge, like trying to do that a good bit. And that's where we'll be leading in the next few podcasts, talking about that. But I just wanted to give a story time of what we had done the first few. And, you know, on a closing, my podcast here, like a lot of people are like, oh, it's to educate, it's to entertain, it's to, you know, learn. Not sure I'll educate you, teach you, or anything. Hopefully I can entertain you and make you laugh, because I've made some clusterfucks on some stuff I've done, and they'll come out later in the hunting and fishing. Like, I'll tell those. Like, I'm, you know, I enjoy hunting. I enjoy talking about hunting. I enjoy fishing. I enjoy talking about that. I enjoy the outdoors. And my biggest passion is outdoors for the next person, to be honest. That's why my boys have been scouting public land with me since they were not much. Hell, they probably wasn't even potty trained. I've taken them and done stuff. My daughter's a little different because, like, that's just different. You know, like, so she'll be getting into it the next couple years. She'll be a few years behind them, but she'll be getting into it. And my youngest son will probably make a public land hunt with me out of state early next year, and we'll go from there. But the biggest thing to me, outdoors, promote it to the next generation. If you want to have a future in the outdoors, you got to have it promoted to the next generation. So with that, thank you for your time. This is Julius Craig with Delta Flodge Outdoors. Please reach out to us for any questions or anything at info@deltaflodgeoutdoors.com or julius@deltaflodgeoutdoors.com. You can go to our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook, look up deltaflodgeoutdoors.com, DELTAFLAUGE. You can also, you know, reach out to us through the podcast. Hey, might have a hair of an overlap there. Don't really know what happened. Computer shut down. Like I was saying, to end it, just reach out to us here at Delta Flodge Outdoors through Facebook, our website, or like I said, Julius@DeltaFlodgeOutdoors, or info@DeltaFlodgeOutdoors. Y'all reach out to us. You could probably do it through the podcast. Just any questions, concerns, want to be a guest here, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks. Julius Craig, Delta Flodge Outdoors. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Delta Flodge Outdoors. This is Julius Craig. We appreciate you listening to us today. We look forward to bringing you our quality product from here on out. And remember, introduce one to the outdoors. Thanks. Delta Flodge Outdoors, Julius Craig.